Way down upon the Wabash, such land was never known. If Adam had passed over it, the soil he'd surely own.
Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Carl Sandburg was a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, poet, and editor. And while he's considered to be one of the major figures of contemporary literature, his specific works are not as well known as those of other literary luminaries. One Milwaukee actor wants to change that with his one-man show, The Eagle in Me.
Created by Jonathan Daly, the show recreates Sandburg's own traveling show that journeyed through the heart of America, showcasing his poetry and his vast collection of American folk songs.
Sandburg himself had ties to Milwaukee. Moving to the city after college, he worked as an advertising writer and newspaper reporter. He married a Milwaukee woman and even worked under the first socialist mayor of Milwaukee from 1910 to 1912.
These many talents and aspects of his life always piqued Daly's interest in Sandburg, and he tells Bonnie North on site at the In Tandem Theater what it was about Sandburg's body of work that inspired him to create a one-man show.
I first got interested in the guy when I was 25. I was working at a story theater company in St. Louis. And our whole thing was, it was all theater for young audiences. And the whole thing was about finding pieces of literature written for young people by great authors, you know, as a way to get people, get kids interested in reading. Say, well, if you liked this, what we just did, you can find it in your library. And we found, you know, there were writers like Oscar Wilde and Ray Bradbury and Guy de Maupassant, all these great writers who actually wrote for young people.
I'm in shock with Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde, oh, the Happy Prince. What a great, great story for kids. Anyway, one of the writers that we discovered was Carl Sandburg, that he had written a whole lot of stories for kids. I later found out that it was part of a series called the Rutabaga Stories, which was a two-volume set of stories that he wrote, mostly inspired by his daughters in the 1920s. I loved those stories so much. They were a go-to thing for us. They always worked. And that got me just interested in learning more about him. And then, of course, that led me to, oh, my gosh, he didn't just write stories for kids. He was a historian. He wrote a two-volume biography of Abraham Lincoln. He wrote hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of poems. Everybody, you know, hears The Fog when they're kids, at least when I was a kid. That was the thing that, you know, you learned about Carl Sandburg, was that he wrote The Fog. But he had this amazing body of work. And then I found out that in the middle of his career, he needed to make money because two of his kids had chronic illnesses. And so he decided to hit the road. He had played guitar very rudimentary all his life. He learned four chords when he was 10, and he never felt a pressing need to learn any more. But he would sing these. He had collected folk music into a book called The American Song Bag in the 1920s. And he started traveling all over the country with his guitar, playing folk music that he researched himself, and reciting his poetry and telling some stories and talking about his life. And he became a real entertainer all across the United States for a good 15 or 20 years. And lots and lots of people went to see Carl Sandburg when they were kids.
That's so interesting because I think, of course, of Mark Twain doing that, the barnstorming tours. Mm-hmm. And then a little later, I think of Woody Guthrie doing that sort of thing. I never knew that about Carl Sandburg.
Yeah, yeah. And when I discovered that, I thought, well, this is perfect. Someday I should really do this. This would be fun to do. Not necessarily kind of doing the Hal Holbrook thing of putting on the makeup and putting on the costume and being Carl Sandburg, but just I just always thought it would be fun to reveal Carl Sandburg, especially after, I mean, he died in 1967, and anybody who's under the age of 40 doesn't know who he is. It is, for some reason, his memory has not passed on into this century. And so he's a real blank slate for a lot of people. So I thought it would be great to just kind of not imitate him, but imitate that style and reveal this man through his own words. Thing about what I'm doing is I'd say it's 85 to 90% all Carl Sandburg. The only stuff I've added is when I need little segues to go from one piece to another, and I really try to write it in his style. But he left so much, so there's plenty of material. I don't need to create anything. All I'm doing is arranging it so that people get to know the guy.
What was it about his style of writing? Do you think it was approachable? Is that why people liked it so much? What distinguishes it?
You know, I think at the time, he was really a experimenter. He would never say that, but in blank verse, the stuff he wrote about was everyday stuff about cities and dirt and dust and working people and war and just real, you know, down in the dirt kind of stuff. It was a real response or a contrast from the romantic poetry that had preceded in the 1880s, 1890s. So he was kind of a new voice. And a lot of critics at the time said, well, he's not really a poet because he's writing this stuff isn't poetry. This stuff doesn't
rhyme.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he was a real different voice at that period of time. And I think that really appealed to people. He was the poet of the people. That was kind of the way people thought of him, that even if you didn't read poetry, even if you didn't understand poetry, if you go and if you listen to Carl Sandburg read his poetry, or if you read it yourself, you're going to discover that you actually do like poetry.
Can you recite The Fog?
Oh, sure, The Fog. Well, that's a little tiny poem. The fog comes in on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on.
That's Which it. Is such a great...
little haiku.
I know.
And I'll scoop a little bit. In this evening, I also I recite his daughter's version. His daughters, who were little kids at the time, wrote their own version of The Fog. The fog blow in on itty-bitty-kitty footsies. It sits on Chicago and then whammo.
That's great.
That's just love.
Whammo.
Whammo.
There's a word you don't hear anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you are sitting here not only talking to me about Carl Sandburg, but you have a guitar.
Believe
in
it or
your
not.
Hands.
I
know.
There it is.
And
wow.
and you're not claiming to be a guitarist, but are
no.
you going to be singing in this? I'm assuming yes.
Indeed. The great thing about this with the music, I mean, he loved music so much, but as he said himself, he picked up his first guitar at 12 and he learned four chords on it and never felt a pressing need to learn any more. So
Everything's in one key.
It's all in one key. It's all real simple, and that it does me just fine. So I, well, here's one. This is a song that he kind of popularized at the time. He collected folk music. He spent just years compiling this classic book called American Song Bag that became kind of the Bible for folk music because he collected stuff from all the way back to the Revolutionary times and up to the present time at the time, 1923.
So was he working with Alan Lomax at all? Because that was about the same time.
Yeah, about the same time. Yeah, I mean, he collected it from everybody. He invited everybody that he could find to submit things, all kinds of, I mean, literary figures and folk music artists, and he just, it was an exhaustive thing. I mean, there are hundreds of songs in this book. It became this source that Pete Seeger really kind of popularized it because he took from it very liberally because Sandburg had dug up all this wonderful stuff that nobody knew about. And one of these things is a song that he used to associate with his wife, Paula, that he met in 1903, and they stayed married for until his death in 1967.
Love, oh love, oh careless love. Love, oh careless love. It's love, oh, careless love. Won't you see what your love has done for me? Oh, I love my mama and my papa too. I love my mama and my papa too. Oh, I love my mama and my papa too. but I'd leave them both to go with you.
I had no idea that he had popularized that because, of course, that's such – I mean, it's been played in bluegrass circles forever. I mean, it's one of those songs that you just sort of – is in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was really big on – he collected a lot of John Henry songs. Let's see, how does that go? Let's see. They took John Henry to the steep hillside. He looked to the heaven above. He said, pick my hammer and wrap it in gold. And give it to the girl I love. Oh, give it to the girl I love. He said, if I die a railroad man, go bury me under the tie, so I can hear old number four as she goes rolling by, as she goes rolling by. There are millions of John Henry songs, and he found a lot of them.
Well, and of course, you mentioned Pete Seeger, and I can hear Pete Seeger with a banjo doing just that. Mm-hmm. You know, in my, as you're singing the song, it's like, well, yeah, that's what we all heard it was from Pete Seeger, probably.
Yeah, I took there's a little nod to Pete Seeger in the show because I take one little segue. This is not something from the American Song Bag. It was a song that you associate with Pete Seeger. Oh, what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? Oh, what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned George Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. That's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. I just kind of pretend that, you know, Carl inspired that. But.
Well, he probably would have.
He would have loved it. Yeah,
I think he would have.
Yeah.
So what do you hope that people get from this show? I mean, just a new appreciation of Sandberg?
That, among other things. The thing that's amazing, and I'm hoping that the more I do this story, the more I tell this, the more it's going to be revealed that one of the things that was just extraordinary about Carl Sandburg, besides his incredible talent and his writing, is that he was a man who was in the 1930s and 1940s and 1950s, he was not afraid to speak his mind. He was a very politically active person. And the thing that's amazing about him is that he never ran afoul of Joe McCarthy in the 1950s, even though he was a steadfast opponent of war. When things were going on in the country that he didn't like, he spoke up about it. And yet he endeared himself to people of all political points of view. He was a guy that just transcended partisanship, which at that time, when you consider, I mean, we think we're in a polarizing time now. The time that he was living in was equally polarizing, and he actually was beloved by people from the right and from the left. He was able to ride that rail, and that I think that makes him really an extraordinary person.
What do you think he could?
In his writing, in his poetry, he was able to convey how much he loved this country. No matter what, I mean, it wasn't my country right or wrong. It was my country is wrong here, but I love it anyway. And the fact that he was able to do that, I think, is a real important thing for people to hear now. And I have a feeling it's going to get more and more important the longer I do this work.
So this is opening at In Tandem. Mm-hmm. Do you have hopes once that run is over of taking it on the road,
just
like Carl?
Yeah. Yeah, just like Carl.
Yeah.
I would really like to – I think I would like to do a lot of one-night stands. I'd like to take it – I think it would be a great thing to put on college campuses, again, for people who don't know anything about him, to learn about him. It may not be the kind of thing that goes from I'm a regional theater actor, and it may not go from regional theater to regional theater but maybe. I really have high hopes to take this thing all over the place, and not necessarily into theaters, into community centers, into the kind of thing that he would do.
Coffee shops.
He played everywhere from Carnegie Hall to people's living rooms and opera houses and community centers and churches. And I would love to do that kind of thing. The great thing about Jane and Chris and In Tandem is that they're giving me an opportunity to get this thing off the ground with 23 performances. So I'm going to learn so much about this work, which I know is going to be a constant work in progress, because I'll be adding and subtracting things my whole life with this work. But to give it this kind of good, focused – sit down run for 23 performances is just a huge gift, and I am thankful every single moment that I'm getting the chance to do this.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for the preview today, Jonathan. I really appreciate it. And break a leg.
Thank you very much.
And when she saw this lovely land, her heart was filled with joy. Straightway she said, I'd like to be.
The Eagle in Me, An Evening of Carl Sandburg, is written and starring actor Jonathan Gillard Daly. The play has its world premiere this Thursday evening at In Tandem Theater Company, and you can find a link to more information at WUWM.com.
These crawfish in the swampy lands, the milksick and the shakes. But these are slight diversions, and take not...